In studio with me now, I've got Mike Lors, the executive director of the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District. How's it going this morning?
Good morning, Parker.
So, a little upset. I guess we don't have any new flush index data to review today.
Yeah, we're reviewing some of the historical numbers, and it's a very complicated mathematical effort. And anyway, we have an issue someplace in our formulas. We need to figure out. So, yeah. Well, stay tuned for next month.
Yeah, I got to wait. Got to wait for the good data. But you did, in your report, you said that wastewater concentrations have decreased significantly across the state in the last week. And just generally speaking, you know, what does that mean?
So we monitor the genetic material in our wastewater at both of our treatment plants twice a week. And all this information gets submitted to the state health department. And then they put out a weekly report. For the last 2 months approximately, the wastewater count here in Summit County and even Wasatch County has been very high. And statewide, approximately 85% of the sample sites have shown elevated COVID levels. And when I say COVID, you know, we look for the genetic material associated with the virus, and COVID is obviously the disease that as a result of having that virus. That 85% statewide has now dropped down to 11%. So that's really good news, getting in a little bit closer to where we live here. Our two treatment plants here in the Park City area are in the very low levels now. This is the first time we've seen both of our facilities at the low level in quite some time. And Wasatch County is also dropping down into the low level. So good news on the COVID front.
Yeah, and just looking back, last winter, did we see a spike in that around the winter? Or?
We saw a spike, but the spike that we've seen the last couple months has been quite extended, meaning it lasted quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And I know personally many friends of mine that, you know, caught COVID in the last couple months, but anyway, things are looking up.
Yeah, it's good. Well, I know this was talked about previously, but important to mention again, looking to get the word out about potential illegal sewer connections or sump pumps. What's kind of the base problem here?
So the problem is this. If you have a sump pump that's pumping water, and this would be groundwater from around your house or in your basement or your crawl space, and that's connected to the wastewater system, that does two things. Number one, it overloads our system with too many gallons of water. And number two, that clean water is bad for our treatment plants. Our treatment plants are designed to remove wastewater that we all generate that has lots of organic material in it. And that organic material is fed to our living biological system that we have to treat the wastewater. And if you put clean water into the treatment system, those microscopic organisms that we use for treatment basically starve to death, and it destroys the treatment process. So once again, if you have a sump pump and you'd like for us to conduct a free inspection just to make sure it's connected correctly, just give us a call. We'll come out to help you. And if it is connected to the wastewater system improperly, we offer up to $3,500 to help people disconnect that sump pump and connect it correctly. So this is very, very important to us, and you'll be hearing us talking about this for some time to come. But we're getting millions of gallons of extra water into the system from sump pumps. So again, give us a call.
Is there a particular reason why some people may be accidentally connected to the system?
You know, in the past, sump pumps were connected kind of wherever it was easiest to connect them. And in some cases, an individual or a plumber may say, hey, you know, here's a sewer line. We'll just connect it right up. But building code, statewide building codes, and our regulations prohibit that. That doesn't mean it hasn't happened. You know, hey, we're not going to nick somebody for what happened in the past. Let's just fix the problem, and we're happy to help financially to do that.
Yeah, and people should get an inspection if they're curious, but is there any other way they can check or just kind of make sure?
If you're a do-it-yourself type person and you go down to wherever your sump pump is and follow the line that comes out of the pump, and you can determine where that goes, but unless you're familiar with internal plumbing, it's not real intuitive sometimes. So, we've been conducting dozens and dozens of inspections and have had some great conversations with homeowners, and we've fixed a number of sump pump connections. And we've also found out that in a number of cases, the pump was connected correctly, and people are just doing the right thing by asking us to take a look at it. So, give us a call.
Yeah. Well, moving on, the district is installing some new pipes in a number of locations around town. What can you tell us about this?
So what we're doing is we're installing a liner, or think of installing a new pipe inside an existing pipe without having to dig anything up. And the way we do this is we take a flexible material and you roll it up and you saturate it in a fiberglass type resin. And then you install it down into the existing pipe, and then you either put heat to it in the way of steam or hot water or even UV, and we cure it in place. So when you install a liner, you put pressure on this liner, and it pushes it up against the existing pipe, and then it hardens in place. And this has been a great, great technique that was developed over in Europe a number of years ago. And I would say probably 95% of our pipeline projects now use this technique, and it prevents us from having to dig up the roads disrupt the neighborhood or the business area. And it's been highly successful. We can usually get into an area and install a new liner in a day, whereas if we had to dig it up, it's kind of like you'll see in Park City. They have to dig up the old water lines down Main Street. Very disruptive. In our case, we can, in most of the situations, put a liner in and be in and out of there pretty quick. But we do have about 50 locations throughout the Park City area, including the Snyderville Basin area, where we're using this technique. So you'll see us show up for a day or two, and then we're out of there. But that's what we're doing. We're installing a liner inside the existing pipe.
And I guess on your website, people can find a location of where the construction is taking place.
Right. You go to our website. If you see something outside your door or in your neighborhood and you're curious if it's one of our projects, you can go to our website. And we're constantly updating that website where we are and when we expect to be in and out of there.
So moving on, I find this particularly fascinating. You said last week, American Water, the largest water utility in the U.S., revealed that it had been targeted in a cyber attack and had to shut down some systems, including billing. I assume you all have not been subject to any attack, but starting to do some just work to prepare?
First of all, a water and wastewater sector is one of 16 critical infrastructure sectors that the Department of Homeland Security has identified as being prime targets for cybersecurity issues. We get hit all the time, attempted hits. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we've never been attacked to where they've been successful, but it is not unusual for water and wastewater systems across America to be vulnerable and actually sustain damage from a cyber attack. Since we are a critical infrastructure, folks overseas and even, people that like to do these type of things in the United States seek us out and hit us on a regular basis. So we spend a tremendous amount of time with the FBI, Homeland Security, and others hardening our systems. We do the best we can. Fortunately, as I indicated, we've never been cyber hacked, or we've never had a successful attack where we had to shut anything down, but we see it coming into our system on a daily basis, and we just want the public to know that we are taking this this issue very seriously, and we've put together cybersecurity plans, and we work with the federal agencies to harden our system. But it is not unusual for a water or wastewater system to be hacked here in the United States.
Mm-hmm. And is there some common tactics you're seeing? I mean, is it a phishing emails or other more advanced techniques?
Well, most all hacks, not all, but most hacks are what we call spear phishing. That's where they will target a specific individual and target them with very sophisticated emails so that the person receiving the emails thinks, hey, this email is from my mother, and here's a picture of our last vacation, and the person will click on it, and then that's all it takes. So the phishing is kind of a general attack for kind of anyone that opens up an email, but a spear phishing is very specific to an individual, and I have had people take my information off our publicly available website and public information for me and send me things that are direct attacks to me personally because of the position I hold. And my general information is on the dark web. The FBI and Homeland Security tells us when they see that type of information showing up. But people gather that information from publicly available sites and then sell it.
Yeah, and with training employees, is it a lot of just keeping them very aware of that these things are possible?
It's a constant training effort. Our employees are great, but for your listeners, if you're a homeowner or a business owner, just be aware that some of the phishing efforts by these criminals is very, very sophisticated. And you have to be extremely careful. And sometimes, you can do everything right and still get hacked.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, anything else you want to mention?
No, I just, we got snow and rain coming. But hey, if any of your listeners would like to come and see how wastewater is treated, we've had some really great tours recently. And we invite individuals and groups and families to come out and see kind of where it all goes and how it's treated before you put it back into our local streams. So, we really welcome people to kind of see where it all goes.
Yeah, and back to that, the sump pump discussion we had about the inspections you all do, what's the best way to reach out if someone wanted to
do that? Just give our a number a call. It's you can call 214-5223 or just look us up online, the Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation District, and we're happy to help you.
All right. Well, thanks, Mike, for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Parker.
Yeah, take care. We've been speaking with Snyderville Basin Water Reclamation Executive Director Mike Lures.